At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.
Ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground, picked up by T.J. Ward at the four-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again.
On Overtime Media.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Dove Valley Deep Divers. I am your host, Eric Trickle, and joining me tonight is the one and only Kenneth Booker. Kenneth, man, how are you doing? How's your day going?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, it's still nice outside, so I got to take advantage of that a little bit. But fixing up my house, been painting a lot. So I'm not what kind of painter are you? Are you a painter that like puts down tape and paper and all that stuff? Or are you the guy who just wings it?
I'll wing it.
I wing it.
I get yelled at later by my wife.
Every time. it's like paint all over my carpet, but it's pretty much done though. So yeah. I've been doing pretty good though. Waiting for this game to happen. Pretty excited.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned the weather. It turned October here, obviously, and it turned cold and windy. The leaves are falling off the trees. Like, it was like as soon as August 1st, a flip of the switch, and it is 100% fall now up here. But before we get into this game, we are coming off another win, back to back wins, and the Broncos are sitting at 2-2. How do we feel about that?
I'm still up in the air about it. You know, you never know. Like I was talking about the Tampa Bay games of games you should lose, but you probably win. But this next game is the complete opposite. Games you should win, but you probably lose. So I don't know. We'll see. It's like a week by week basis with this team.
Yeah.
The only thing that's not week by week is the defense. The defense shows up. I don't know. I tried to get into one of the defenders like neighborhoods and they blocked me out of there. No, I don't know. But it just seems like those guys are just out of this world really good. And the other ones are, it's like 20% really good, 15. And then the rest is just like, do you play football? Like what is this?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think being 2-2 after the first four games, and I have an article up on Mile High Huddle that kind of goes into this with the way the schedule is. Coming into these next four games at 2-2 is setting them up for success if they can walk away at 3-1 over these next four or better. And to get to that, they need to beat, and you mentioned this, this is a game they should win. This Las Vegas Raiders team, they should win this game. This is not a good team. The defense should control the pacing of the Raiders offense, and the Broncos offense should be able to start putting things together. But I feel like we've been saying the same kind of things for the last eight games against the Raiders that they've won. I mean, they're 9-1 in the last 10 games, 8-0 in the last eight. And I don't know what it is. It's always something with the Broncos that they just fall flat when it comes to playing the Raiders. And it's about dang time that we see a Broncos win.
It's crazy. It doesn't even matter who their quarterback is.
Yeah.
It could be anybody. It's not like it's like a Patrick Mahomes every single time, even though it was a Chase Daniels beat us 1 year when we knocked Patrick Mahomes out of the game. I don't know what it is about it. It really bothers me because I got a lot of Raiders friends and they never shut up. They're super excited about being the second worst team. it's like, dude, you're still terrible. Like, I don't understand why you're so happy, but, yeah, we need to shut them up. We need to win this game. We need to prove that the Bo Nix era is here, and in his era, we don't lose to the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, that would be such a good start for this team mentally in that era, and I don't think that can be understated. Starting off, not only ending the losing streak we have against the Raiders, but coming in the first game against them, going out there and beating them, the only thing that can take away from that a little bit is if Bo Nix doesn't play well. I'm not saying he plays terribly, just doesn't play well, and they still manage to win. Then it's like, because then you still have that little bit of hesitation about Bo Nix. And I'm not saying go out there, be great, throw for 500 yards and six touchdowns or whatever. But go out there, play a solid game, throwing for 250 yards with a high completion percentage, completing about 60 to 70% of your passes. Because this Raiders defense is really bad. They have some guys on there who make business decisions every single play. Jack Jones being one of them. There is a play against the the Carolina Panthers, I think it was, where Jack Jones has the running back coming right at him, and he sidesteps, and the running back ends up getting like 6 or 7 more yards. And there's plays like that when watching the Raiders where Jack Jones does this consistently. And then you have Jacorian Bennett on the other side, who he's having issues as a tackler. They have issues at linebacker that makes them such a liability to tight ends. Like, this is a middle-of-the-pack passing defense, a middle-of-the-pack rushing defense. The Broncos offense, with what we've seen them do against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even though they were missing 3 of their star players, and being, what's the right word here? I don't want to say decent enough, but being so inconsistent against three top 10 defenses, it's time they start showing that they can put things together and be more consistent and using what the struggles that they had against those three top defenses and overcoming it against a lesser defense, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you got to learn from your mistakes. You got to learn from what they say, the failures aren't, they're not failures. They're learning lessons essentially. Yeah. And that's how you got to approach it with this team on a week by week basis. Cause you're going to have a ton of learning experiences. We'll see if they can continue this going. I don't know. The offense looks rough at times where it's like, I don't know. You don't see first round, not just Bo's fall or anything. You don't see first round draft pick. You see a backup quarterback with a bunch of free agents out there at times, whatever, where it looks very like they're not going to get a first down. Like I guess you might as well just turn this game off kind of thing, whatever. So, but we'll see if Sean Payton can kind of slowly work in a game plan that works really well with Bo, and he can kind of like flow off of that and see how he goes from there. But give these guys another four more weeks before I make a final decision on this offense. But right now it's just like, I don't know. It's really hard to have any faith in these guys, even after that Tampa Bay game.
Yeah, this is a really young offense, and that needs to be remembered, led by a rookie quarterback who, yes, he has the most starts in college history, 61 starts, is older for a rookie quarterback, but he's still a rookie adapting to the NFL. That does need to be remembered. No one is making conclusive opinions about Bo Nix after 4 games. I'm not going to be doing it after 8 games. If we get to the 12-game mark and we're starting to see the same issues that we are seeing over these first ones, where he's facing defenses who aren't the same caliber, then I'll start having that discussion about it. But there's still a lot of games left to play, and this is a young offense still putting everything together. But we have David McElrath, Papa Bear, coming in with a $2 donation. Thank you, David. We appreciate that. Good evening, Broncos country. #10-7. Let's go, Bo. 10-7 would be a nice record at this point, and I would like to see it.
I think that was my original prediction, but we'll see about it now.
Yeah.
Say game by game.
But before we continue talking about this, and we're definitely going to dive into the injury report and a lot more about this game. But first, we do have a presenting sponsor of Manscaped tonight. Hey, everyone. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience it?
Yeah, introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings a luxurious of a professional shave right into your home, whether you're after a daily silky smooth finish or prefer the to maintain like a rugged 5 o'clock shadow. That's kind of like how I actually do it. The Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to precision for style and every time. Head over to manscaped.com and join over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using the code HUDDLE to get 20% off plus free shipping.
So get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. Now, not getting into specifics here, I like Manscaped. There's a lot of products. They have some of the best underwear that I've ever worn. Super soft. I love a lot of Manscaped products. Now, flipping over to the game before here, there is a comment here that I want to address as I was talking about Bo Nix and, you know, after 12 games. And DB94 coming in, I thought you needed to see a rookie quarterback for a full season before you make a definitive judgment, as long as they didn't completely fail every game. Now, this has been long debated. There are multiple former NFL coaches who have come in and talked about this. They have a lot of good comments and interviews about it. And the general belief is after 13 games, you should have some idea of what you have in your quarterback. After 13 starts, you should have some idea of what your quarterback is. And so I'm not making a definitive decision after 12 games. I think that basically no matter what, you give Bo Nix this season and next season. Part of that is because that you have Sean Payton and him are tied to the hip. But I think that we are going to have, after 12 or so games, we are going to have a pretty clear idea on what we do have in Bo Nix. Doesn't mean it's going to be 100% the way that it plays out as he continues to play. Doesn't mean he can't have a rapid turnaround. Those are very, very rare and uncommon. And we learned that with, not to bring it up, like, well, to bring it up, but not to go down that road. But we learned about that with Drew Lock, that after a while, that potential stops being potential kind of thing. And it's a conversation that you have to have with all positions. So 12 or 13 games, that's where you're starting to get an idea of what you have in Bo Nix. And again, I'm a firm believer that Bo Nix should get all of the season barring injury and all of next season barring injury.
Yeah, I think the difference with the Lock thing is you have a coach that trusts and is really in the corner of Bo Nix, where Locke was like, he was trying to get anybody else but Locke. I know that Teddy Bridgewater wanted, but I almost feel like multiple other middle range quarterbacks would have beat him out too, based off of just Fangio's personality and what he wanted and how he didn't want to watch people grow. He wanted to have the finished product and then use that product how he to its best of its ability and the most efficient way. But the whole season and the 13 games, I guess it just depends on if in the beginning it's going to be rough, and then as the season goes on, are those mistakes starting to get fixed, where maybe not every one of them is fixed out of the 10 mistakes, maybe 7 of them is fixed or 6 are fixed. And then next time he goes out there, now he's not a couple more of them that he's getting down. Maybe he does another mistake again, like he makes the same mistake again. But we just got to see some kind of growth. We also got to see a guy that's not overwhelmed mentally by the game and is just kind of freaking out, kind of like how, like again with Locke, whatever, about his offensive line kind of collapsed on him and he kind of just, he never felt comfortable back there. He was always in a hurry. But yeah, I don't know. I think Nick's should be all right. I think I've said it before. Somebody was talking about what they had him as a comparison. It was like a high end Alex Smith, mm-hmm. like a Casey Alex Smith. And I could see that more than yeah. like the higher end, like I don't know, Patrick Mahomes. But those people, if they have good teams around them, they can be very successful. So,
and with the whole conversation about Bo Nix, two things is I'm a firm believer in splitting things into quarters. four games, and so on and so forth. We have the first four. We saw flashes. We saw him improve his footwork against Tampa Bay. It did regress a little bit against the New York Jets. And I actually have a video that went up on YouTube not long before we went live that breaks down the offense a little bit against the New York Jets. And I do talk about the footwork issues. And I do mention that part of the issues with that could have been the wet field and the rain and mm-hmm. him trying to protect himself from that. So I still, going into these next four, I want to see more growth from him. Better placement, better footwork, and just starting to make these, correct these issues that were there in the first four games and continue to grow and develop. And then all of his final three, those final four games of the, you know, the three sets of four here in weeks 9, 10, 11, 12 is really taking that next step with it. From there, I will have some decent confidence in him going forward and continuing to grow and improve off that. But that's where I'm at now, is splitting it up into four. And then also with this conversation is you have to acknowledge that this Broncos offense lacks playmakers. And that does affect the quarterback. And that is something that in my evaluations of Bo Nix over the past 4 weeks and going forward does come into play. There is a lack of playmakers. There is some issues with play calling about the, you know, not properly stretching the field or utilizing proper spacing, things like that, that are all being factored into my evaluation of Bo Nix. So that's where I'm at on it. And we have BK coming in with the $10 donation saying no fly zone 2.0. Yes. And this defense, man, it is extraordinary to watch the way they do things, the way that Vance Joseph is using PJ Locke and Brandon Jones and Patrick Surtain is phenomenal. He's got the talent. He's able to run a scheme that he's comfortable with, which we didn't get last year. And he's got, he put so much trust on Patrick Surtain that he can run cover one at the highest rate in the NFL. And he uses those two safeties because they are versatile, that they can do a little bit of everything. That one plate, Brandon Jones will drop in and be that single high safety, that cover one safety, and PJ Locke comes down, and then the next plate, they'll flip, which makes this defense even harder to read. And that is something that's great to see. We have Ian Levin coming in with a $2 donation. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Ian. Appreciate that. And then Desert Creature here saying, I remember John Elway's rookie year. He wasn't very good. Thank you, Desert Creature. Yeah. We appreciate the $10 donation with that. And yes, yeah. John Elway's rookie year was terrible. And it gets brought up all the time, and my response is always the same. That was a completely different era of football. Like, it just was. The what you could do offensively was so much different because of the safety rules and rules in general, and just the way the offense, NFL offense has evolved and NFL defenses has evolved. It is a completely different generation, but yeah. You still need to have patience with Bo Nix. And I'm not trying to come to any conclusions after four games. And if I'm coming off that way, I apologize. That is not my goal. If I come across that in an article or on Twitter, I am not trying to come off as Bo Nix is 100% a bust or anything like that. There are issues with his game that need to be corrected, but there are also issues outside of his control with this offense that are impacting his play. But yes, John Elway wasn't very good. Peyton Manning, he didn't have a very good rookie year, and he's a lot closer to this modern era than John Elway was.
Well, you've heard him on the Manning cast where he talks about how he's mad how they keep taking these rookie quarterbacks out because they get no shot at breaking his interception record. It's like 28 interceptions, I think, Manning threw his rookie year. But for the Elway thing, the thing people gloss over a little bit, which isn't with the rookie, but his career in general, is the Dan Reeves effect on that. And like Dan Reeves is an amazing coach, but he was more of a run the ball, defense, hey, Elway, win me the ball or win me the game in the fourth quarter. I remember my brother was breaking that down to me like that. And I was like, that is true. Like he would get that touchdown at the end. He would get that comeback. But throughout the game, it was just defense and run, defense and run, defense and run. That's why they never really had 1,000-yard receivers during those three Migo years. Maybe they did, but they were like barely 1,000 yards kind of thing. If you would have had Shanahan the whole time, he'd have had Marino numbers.
Yep. And Desert Creature, I'm sorry, man. You come in. I remember Josh Rosen's rookie year. He wasn't very good. Josh Rosen's out of the NFL. He's not very good, period. He never bounced back. And Chase Wilder comes in with another good point. To a certain point, I get the Elway reference. It just gets tiring sometimes. More examples of quarterbacks failing than overcoming a rough start to their career. And this is something that always gets overlooked. You can find two or three great examples for a quarterback that struggled their rookie year and turned around and bounced around. but you're ignoring the 10 to 20 quarterbacks that had that rough start and never recovered. And the NFL is full of them now. I mean, look around the NFL. We have Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. We have Justin Fields, who isn't supposed to be starting, but is starting. On he's actually having a pretty solid season with
he was starting by
limitations. But so he's one of those guys that maybe he bounces back. Maybe he doesn't.
Well, yeah, there's a Darnold.
Sam Darnold, he's another one that you could maybe, but you still have to wait and see with that, because that Minnesota Vikings offense has a lot of talent on there, having Justin Jefferson, like, so wait and see. So that's another positive example, but the NFL is littered with these guys who struggle to start and aren't doing well. Mac Jones is another one.
Remember, there's like four guys that are like, were considered bust in the league that are starting and thriving.
Yeah, I mean, there's examples going both ways, and to point out one just ignores the other.
Yeah, it's just a case by case situation. They used to get they were firing CU quarterbacks or coaches after 1 year, and they would always go back to Bill McCartney, the guy who won the national title for him, and he had won like two or three games his first season, and it's just a different time.
Thank you, Ian, for pointing this out. I hope I'm saying your name right. He says, happy Friday, Broncos country, checking in from Gilbert, Arizona. Remember, Broncos country is a state of mind, not a geographical location, as the one and only Chad Jensen likes to say. Can't wait to see Bo have a breakout game against the Raiders. Hashtag Bo knows. Hashtag Knicks 4-6. And just, of course, hashtag let's go, Bo, because I actually like that one. And, you know,
I like the mentality, the positive.
Yeah, it's nice. And yeah, I mean, we can't say this enough. Broncos country is it's not a geographical location. It's a state of being. It's a state of mind. And when you look at the staffers and the podcasters from here on the Mile High Huddle Network, we are spread out throughout the country. We have staff writers who are overseas. They are in London and Scotland, I believe.
Yeah, James is in England. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in Alaska, and we have somebody, I believe, used to be at least in Maine. We have somebody who is down in the South. Like, we have, like, we're just spread out throughout the country. Well,
where's everybody from in this room, I guess? So Michael Ronquillo is from Tucson.
Yeah, and even in the chat, we have a bunch of guys that show up all over.
They're both by, I guess, Tucson and Gilbert aren't by each other. Gilbert's by Phoenix, I guess. I just looked it up.
And like we have BK coming in with a $5 donation. What are your thoughts on the low passing yards so far league wide, minus Atlanta last night? I do find it funny that Kirk Cousins threw for 509 passing yards, breaking Matt Ryan's passing record on the night they were honoring Matt Ryan. Like, that to me is kind of funny.
Cousins would do that.
it is just funny to me. And the low passing yards, I think that is a fact of the defenses are starting to adjust to offenses. And it's just the trend that follows. Offenses adjust, find something a way to attack defenses. Defenses adjust to attack that. And then offenses turn around and find a way to attack this new style of defenses. And then defenses will adjust and so on and so forth. And I think we're just at that point of defenses have found that way to adjust with what they're doing in coverage, as well as simulated pressures of putting guys up on the line and making quarterbacks guess as to who's coming, which is leading to more pressures and I believe more sacks from the way the trends are, if I remember correctly. I might not be remembering that aspect correctly. So I just think that's what it comes down to, is the defenses are adjusting and offenses have yet to figure it out so far.
I think the quick pass game has been a lot bigger than it has been in the past too. So it's just slower. I mean, it's like the 10-yard passes opposed to like the 50-yard passes or the 6-yard passes.
Yep. Explosive plays are down league wide, and it's just because their defenses with the simulated pressures, they're willing to give up those quick passes and come down and tackle. You know, it's that Vic Fangio mindset. We'll give up the quick stuff, we'll give up the short underneath stuff, and then we're gonna come rally to the ball and make the play. And that's just thing. I mean, explosive plays were such a thing in the NFL, and we still have them, yes, but just not at the rate that we've seen in previous years. And now, Kenneth, to your question earlier about where's everybody from, we're getting a lot of responses to that. We have Cristiano from Brazil.
Wow.
Somebody in Denver. Thank you, Randy, for joining us.
Thank you.
Adam Strange is from Mars. do you happen to be what's his name
now?
I can't think of his name now. Bourne, Jason Bourne.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Who plays him from The Martian? Is that?
I didn't even know what that was about when I went to go see it, and that was such a good movie.
Pro 16K saying I'm from Thailand.
Nice.
We have a couple people that pop in from Thailand every now and then. Painted Desert, Illinois, Nashville, Tennessee, Illinois, Montana. I've been to Montana. Been to Missoula. Years and years ago, I actually almost got a job working with the Montana Grizzlies football team years ago. That was, oh man, I was just out of high school, so it was like early 20 teens.
Billings aren't they known for being big Bronco fans, aren't they?
Billings, I think Montana follows a similar suit like Alaska, that when they first got cable, it was to Denver channels, Denver stations. Mm-hmm. I believe. I'm not 100% sure. And then we have somebody from Narnia. Do you happen to be a Aslan? Are you Aslan? Seattle?
You guys are good balls.
Seattle's a nice place. I like it. Zootown. So Missoula, man. I like the area. We went up to Flat Lake? No. What's that big lake? I went up there when I was down there, been there a couple times. Absolute beautiful area. I really enjoyed my visits there. And then Montana is pretty split between Seahawks and Bronco fans. That makes sense.
Oh, okay.
We have Ottawa, Ontario. We have a Canadian nice, in Canada, here. Huh? Hope you're doing well. Yeah, Flathead. Thank you. Beautiful area up there. And then Portland, Oregon. And now I guess we got to get into the game after all this. And thank you guys. I mean, it's been fun. It's fun learning
to meet everybody in the room where they're from. That's awesome.
And Ian, okay, thank you. It felt weird for me to say 20 teens, but I also graduated late, so not super late, only a year still.
I was a class of 2000 kid.
I was supposed to be 2010, graduated in 2011. So I think it was like 2013 is when I had a chance to go work for the Montana Grizzlies football team, I believe. Anyways, going into this, was there something you wanted to add?
Oh, no, I was actually a different guy. I was a basketball ESPN guy, just retired. She told me she'd go take his job. But he's basketball.
Yeah. I don't know anything about basketball. I know basics, like obviously, but
yeah.
I don't. Yeah. Anyways, getting into this game, the injury report, and man, is it extensive for the Raiders. They have 7 players out and another 5 players that are questionable. Entering this week, I was kind of hopeful. It didn't play out that way, that 3 of their starting offensive linemen would be out. And we're going to get to Max Crosby, the big one here in a minute. Thayer Munford, their starting right tackle, he's out for the game. He's been out. He's missed some time. DJ Glaze has stepped in for him, and he's been playing pretty decently. I was kind of hoping Colton Miller, their left tackle, he was a full practice today after being limited yesterday in practice. He's going to be playing. And then Dylan Parham, their guard, their right guard, he's listed as questionable. And if he doesn't play, that can open the door for Zach Allen to really take over this game. Jackson Powers Johnson, he plays on the left side at left guard. And then their center, obviously, name escapes me at the moment, James, I think, in the middle. But Zach Allen, he likes to rush off that right guard, kind of between that B gap between the guard and tackle on that right side. So if Dylan Parham doesn't play and they're back to they're down to their backup right tackle, that can lead for a huge day for them. They're also missing Devontae Adams. He won't be playing, which that raises a very interesting question that I'm going to bring here in a second. Zamir White, he's not playing. He's out for this game with a groin injury. Michael Mayer, he's out for a personal reason. That's a capable tight end there, the number 2 tight end for them. So before we get to Max Crosby here, my question. Would you consider, or do you put even, Patrick Surtain on Brock Bowers for this game?
I think I'd still put him on the boundary unless Brock Bowers just starts torching us.
I mean,
I don't know. He's a rookie. He's been playing pretty well. I was really high on him out of college. I remember when he was playing for Georgia his freshman year, was killing it. I'm like, oh, when's this guy going to get drafted? They're like, he's a freshman. I'm like, what? But, I mean, you can. It wouldn't hurt, but I don't know. I would try to see how my other guys, like my linebackers and safeties, held up against him before I rotated Surtain over.
See, my thing is after watching what Jakobi Meyers did to us last year, I would have Patrick Surtain try to shut down Jakobi Meyers.
Yeah, unless you want to bring in Kareem Jackson to knock him unconscious.
Take out that leg again.
That was a brutal hit.
Oh, it was. But yeah, Jakobi Meyers, he has the most receptions among the receivers. He has one more than Davante Adams, and he's their leading guy in targets. He has two more than Davante Adams. Adams being out, that's a big loss for them. He wants out of there. And then there is the whole off-field distraction stuff with the coach. Did you see that stuff about Antonio Pierce?
Yeah, how he liked it, right? He liked his comment?
He's being sanctioned for when he was at Arizona State because to get around COVID restrictions, he took the parents of a prospect to a gentleman's club. So adding to the distractions there in with the Las Vegas Raiders.
I mean, that's Raiders. That's Raiders.
Very Raiders-ish. And then there's always the conversation. And of course, Chase Wilner comes in. Trey Tucker has stepped up for Las Vegas. I would 100% not put Patrick Surtain anywhere near Trey Tucker. As good as Patrick Surtain is, Trey Tucker is a pure speedster. And not that Patrick Surtain couldn't handle it. I think he would struggle a little bit more. I'd rather see him match up with like Jakobi Meyers or Brock Bowers where the size is similar. And then put Jaquan McMillan to take on Trey Tucker. Take Trey Tucker out of the game. Or even Riley Moss, who is extremely fast. Very underrated for how fast he is.
He ran like a 4.46 or something like that.
Yeah, he ran, and so did Patrick Surtain. But Patrick Surtain is, man, I just would not pull him away from Jakobi Meyers at all. So I think it's a fun conversation to have. But like you, unless Brock Bowers becomes like a huge threat, I would trust Brandon Jones, PJ Locke, some combination of linebackers and safeties, maybe even doubling him to try to take him out of the game, unless he starts getting like, again, making huge plays for them. But then you run the risk of, hey, we put Patrick Surtain on Brock Bowers, and now Jakobi Meyers is going to tear you apart. So that always is the risk that you have.
It looks like he ran a 4.41.
Yeah.
I used to work with a guy that played for CU, and he ran a 4.37. And I had never heard of him. And then ESPN Classics came on, and it was like CU against Iowa State or something. And he scored two touchdowns in the game. It was kind of crazy. But yeah, it's insane. For people that run anything under 5, it's like insane. I mean,
it is. And I, not to brag or anything, but I once ran a 5.5 40 yard dash in high school. So,
oh yeah,
true speedster here.
Yeah, I was never, my dad was, he ran the 100 meter like a 10.3, 10.4, something like that. He's run for the Army. Me and my brother have different dads, and his dad ran around like a 10.3 or 10.2. He ran in Olympic trials, actually.
Cool.
Me and my brother were never speedsters. We're more like distance kind of guys.
Yeah, I wasn't a runner. I mean, short distances I could do, like 10 yards, but that's about it.
As long as you don't end up like Chris Jones in the... in the combine
during his 40 combine run. That was something. And then Chase Wilner coming in, and again, we still got to get to Max Crosby here, but Chase Wilner, since we were talking about Antonio Pierce, do we think that was an insanity run with Antonio Pierce last year? I didn't hate the hire for them at the time. I wasn't a big fan of the hire. I didn't hate the hire either. I think it was valid to bring up how little experience he had. And I think we're seeing the effects of it. I mean, it was and here's the thing. Davante Adams was basically saying, make Antonio Pierce the head coach or I want out. They made Antonio Pierce the head coach to appease Adams, and they're about to trade Adams.
Do you think that D'Amico Ryan's success factored into the Antonio Pierce kind of situation? Like, they were riding the wave of Antonio Pierce, and then they saw D'Amico Ryan's former linebacker having a ton of success over at Texas, or the Texans, whatever. Maybe that factored into why they made that decision to go after Pierce instead of like do their homework a little better, I guess.
I mean, it could have. I think that the biggest thing is because it wasn't just Davante Adams. I believe Max Crosby also went to bat for Antonio Pierce. I think it was just Mark Davis kind of being like, this is who my players want. I'm going to make it happen to try to keep them happy.
That's the same thing that happens with every coach, though. Like, I remember when Vance Joseph was leaving, Derek Wolf and a couple other guys who were like, no, this isn't his fault. Like,
yeah, got him another season in Denver.
Yeah, and it's like, you can't factor that in there. It's what happens on the field.
And we see it happen time and time again. Like, it's just one of those things. Like, without getting into too controversial aspect of it, is that you have to really look at the facts, and feelings are, you know, they do matter. You do want to keep your players happy, but you can't just buy into a good run. It was for the Raiders last year under Antonio Pierce, but he just doesn't have the experience and may not have been ready for a head coaching job yet. And maybe what you would do is say, hey, we want to keep you around as a defensive coordinator or something. We're going to bring in a more experienced head coach, a little bit on the older side, and help them groom you to be a head coach down the road. And, well, you just really work on getting the defense and getting more experience. Mm-hmm. Kind of like basically making them defensive coordinator and assistant head coach kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, getting to the defensive side of the ball here, Max Crosby. Well, first, we have BK coming in with a $5 donation thing. Great show, gents. I love how you both keep it real when talking about this team. Appreciate that. That's one thing that I always try to do.
We love your questions too.
Always try to keep it real, even though I get hated for it. Womp womp. But
it's all right, man. At least you know you're keeping it real. That's all. You're not being fake for anybody. So.
And okay.
Yeah, I've been seeing
black angry eyed out, angry, whatever that is. Anyways, BK, our team is not bad. Better than the Broncos across the board. Very deep team. No, they're not. They are not better than the Broncos across the board. At all. I mean, this Broncos defense is top three in almost every single advanced statistical category when it comes to passing defense. And they are in the top half in just about every single one when it comes to run defense. Meanwhile, the Raiders, they are about middle of the pack in every single one in passing defense analytics. And they are basically in the bottom 10 or so, 10-12, in every single run defense statistical category. Offensively, they're allowing more pressures at a higher pressure rate. They're allowing more sacks at, I believe, a higher sack rate. And they just aren't making plays in the running game quite like the Broncos are. And that's saying something, because the Broncos have sucked there. Mm-hmm. Their passing offense has been only slightly better, if I remember correctly. And, I mean, if you really want me to get into it, I could pull up these stats and give you the exact numbers for it. It'll take me about 3 seconds to do that. But, no. The Raiders are not better than the Broncos across the board. They are not a very deep team. They are one of the thinnest teams in the NFL at the moment. And that is one thing that every single draft analyst will tell you. The Oakland Raiders are a thin team, and they need help across the board because they just don't have much depth. And then you're on the verge of trading your star offensive player. And based on some recent reports, Max Crosby might be on his way out here soon as well, because he's getting tired of how things have been ran with the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll see on that.
So,
no. Now, just to be clear here, these are all on paper, and that doesn't mean that the Broncos will win. Though I believe the Broncos will win, and I believe that they will keep your offense, the Raiders' offense, under 10 points. I believe my score prediction is 27-9, as the Broncos actually figure out a ways, because the Raiders' defense is filled with a bunch of soft players. Ooh. Starting with Jack Jones. Maybe you should go and have somebody teach him how to tackle instead of letting a Carolina running back pick up 7 yards more over expected because Jack Jones steps out of his way. Thank you.
Yeah, I never got why people just step out of the way. Just chop their legs out. That's what you always do when it's a bigger person. You go right at their legs.
Yeah.
But to be, like I said, devil advocate on the whole situation, thanks for coming in here, Raiders Nation. You're always welcome in here for a little back and forth. It's always good to talk with you guys. But I don't know, if we're devil advocate, it's any given Sunday. They've beat us the last eight times or something like that, 8 or 9 times. For some reason, we find a way to play our worst against them, especially in the fourth quarter. On my prediction, I did actually have us losing this game. I think I was the only one, just because of we win games we're supposed to lose and we lose games we're supposed to win. We always have at least one of those games in each category every year. I hope I'm wrong. I have been wrong all year. I'm 0-4, so maybe that's a good thing. So I got that Charles Barkley. I guarantee. Every time he guarantees, they always lose. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's I just want it to be a good game, and then us pull away later in the game. But at the end of the day, I want all these teams to be good. I want the Broncos to be good. I want the Raiders to be good. I want the Chargers, the Chiefs. I love when we're playing each other at our best, because that's when the best rivalries happen. So this weekend might not be the best of both teams, whatever, but maybe it's the beginning of the best of the Broncos, and then the very last chapter of the Raiders being terrible as well.
I mean, I'm with you on most of that. I prefer all teams to be good, but my exception is the Raiders.
Yeah.
My exception is 100% the Raiders. Anyways, Max Crosby. He's listed as questionable for this game. He's been dealing with a high ankle sprain. He missed last week. And high ankle sprains are hard to play on, especially for a pass rusher, which really requires them to, you know, with the change of direction, planting the foot and all that. And I'm not 100% sure what foot it is with Max Crosby. I don't think it specifies on the injury report, just that it's a high ankle sprain. If anybody knows which foot exactly, that would be great. Especially if it's a left foot, it is even more concerning because he plays off the right tackle. And that is where he's going to be using that left foot to plant a lot more. So it's tough, but just because they may not have Max Crosby, you can't overlook this pass rush. They're nowhere near as good as the Broncos, mind you, but they did find a way to get it done against the Cleveland Browns. They actually had their second highest quarterback pressure rate on the season against the Cleveland Browns. And part of that is also because the Cleveland Browns offensive line is terrible and Deshaun Watson is terrible. And it didn't help that they blitzed at the highest rate. Now, just to make it clear here, they blitzed 65.4% of the time against the Cleveland Browns. Their next highest rate was in week one against the Los Angeles Chargers, where they blitzed 32.5% of the time. Almost 33% as much, almost twice as much of blitzing as they had at their previous high against the Cleveland Browns without Max Crosby. They found a way to get it done, but Sean Payton knows how to handle blitzes, and hopefully Bo Nix does as well. You get the ball out quickly, and you let your playmakers go make plays, or your receivers go make plays. I don't want to call them playmakers because they're not really. And this benefits the Broncos because the Raiders are so passive with their tackling and bad at their tackling. They have like two players in the top 10 for missed tackle percentage this season, if I remember correctly. It might be flat tackle, missed tackle percent, or foot tackles. Whatever the case, and getting those quick passes and attacking them with the receivers after the catch, forcing them to try to make tackles, it plays more into the Broncos' hands than the Raiders' hands.
Yeah, we just gotta go out there and do our jobs to win this game, especially with our plethora of pass rushers that we have. They just come at you in waves. Zach Allen, this guy's just been playing out of his mind. He's looking like J.J. Watt or something out there, the way he's just dominating. And when he gets his hands on you, he's punishing you. D.J. Jones is playing pretty well. Benito's playing with his hair on fire. Brandon Jones is like, it reminds me of like Darian Stewart. I was like, who the hell is Darian Stewart? And then you see him smash somebody. You're like, oh, yeah, that's Darian Stewart, I guess, whatever. But yeah, I don't know. This is going to be a tough game. Even because it doesn't matter who's a good team and who's a bad team. We just got to stay focused. We got to minimize the turnovers. And we got to really make their hippie quarterback uncomfortable. Even though yes. I like Minshew actually. He's actually regressed a lot since his Jacksonville days, I feel like. But I don't know. We'll see how this all plays out. We'll see. I don't know. What does everybody else think? What is everybody else's score prediction in this room?
Yeah, let us know your score predictions. We'll cover that. We got things been popping off tonight a little bit, so we're going to stick around here for a little bit longer. I saw somebody ask about the weather for this game. I'm trying to pull it up right now, but it's taking forever to load. And I believe, here it is. It is currently projected to be, you know, a high of 79 with a sunny, nice sunny day on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
For this game. So,
and we're playing Las Vegas or here, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're back home this week and next week where they take on the Los Angeles Chargers.
So I'm sorry, somebody was talking trash to me in the group. They said, I hope I don't bet money. I'm not anymore. I don't. I learned.
And
sorry. But what were you saying?
Yeah, so it's going to be a nice sunny day for the Broncos and everything. And that's fortunate because we don't want another rainy game like we had last week. That was rough to watch. But Max Crosby, again, chance he plays questionable means that it's like basically 50-50 to play. And it sucks because I was a huge fan of Max Crosby coming out. And I have been very bummed, I guess, to see him do as well as he has, because it also comes at the cost of the Broncos.
Yeah.
But so excited because, man, with what he has gone through, he's been very open about, you know, his alcoholism and all that. Yeah. He's come over with a lot of that, and it's just nice to see. And then Ernie Mays coming in, if you want to flash that back on here.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Says, I've been picking the Broncos game since 1983. My record is their record. Broncos 31, Raiders 8.
Okay, Ernie. That's what's up. This is the first time I've seen Ernie in this room. I see him in all the other chat rooms.
Yeah.
Welcome, Ernie. Good to see you in here today.
Thank you, Ernie, for joining us. And then Black and Grayed Out. Thank you, chat, for doing it. Don't have my glasses on and does make things a little bit harder for me to see. Stats lie and field work does not. How do you think these stats come around? Honest question. Because whenever I see stats lie, I always want – that's my immediate response. Where do these come from? They come from field work. And when you get into more advanced analytics, as NFL teams are employing year in, year out, more and more to help them with their drafting, to help them with their decision-making, and help them even designing their playbooks, it comes from field work. And when you watch the Broncos defense especially, you can see them, if you put them on side-by-side to the Raiders, you can see that they are better than the Raiders defense. It's not just stats. The field work shows it, and the field work gets there.
Yeah, I think for stats, when people say stats lies, I think that's more generally when it comes to, like, garbage time stats. Like, when you get a team that's down by 25 all the time, but your guy throws for 400 yards. It's like, yeah.
And then it all balances out.
Yeah, it came in to prevent defense.
Yeah,
but yeah, then it does balance out eventually.
And then nowadays, too, is with stats on this, is you can filter those out. You can filter out the stats from when you are trailing and when you're trailing by a certain amount of points to pick out garbage time. So more and more, as more filters are coming in, more ways to, you know, dig out basically the bad data, stats become more and more reliable, and we're seeing that happen. I mean, you can go over to NFL.com. If you have NFL Plus, you get access to the NFL Pro. And on there, I'm on defense, team defensive stats. And here's the splits that you have. I can filter it for being under shock or being in shotgun, under center, pistol, red zone, goal to go, leading, trailing, tied, base personnel, nickel personnel, dime personnel, and even on plays with motion. So there are a lot of splits that I can sit there and pull up and just help eliminate some of these things, like those garbage time stats. But yeah, stats lie has been around for years. And it used to be really relevant 10 plus years ago. That saying used to be more relevant 10 plus years ago. Not so much anymore, because just because of all the ways we can filter it. But we have DB94 coming in with a $5. Thanks for the show tonight, guys. Kenny, your prediction is more about an expectation for this team rather than an indictment of this team. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's like I hope for different things, but that's just what kind of what I how I expected to play out just off of watching this team for 20 years. It all evens out, like you're saying, kind of whatever. But yeah, it's I hopefully my expectation is wrong. I don't know. But that's unfortunately that's what I expect to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of at some point when we do these bold predictions, or not bold predictions, sorry, when we do these game predictions, there is kind of a thing of where expectations over indictment. I did not have high expectations for this Broncos offense going into play Tampa Bay, a much tougher defense than the Raiders, even without their three-star players. And my score prediction was reflected of my expectation, but it was also kind of an indictment of the team because at that point we hadn't seen much of this team and nothing of the offense. And the offense exploded that day and just had a great day. So I think it's, you do kind of have to find that balance between the two, and it can be hard. And I know I definitely have those issues. He mad? No, I'm not. And get your info correct. Crosby is not on his way out. There was a report yesterday, I believe it was, or might have been Wednesday, about Max Crosby along with Devontae Adams talking, or anonymous source, I should say. So just add that thing in there. An anonymous source on like Wednesday or Thursday, I think it was, came out saying that Max Crosby and Devontae Adams both want away from the Raiders. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen. It's looking like it will happen for Adams. Maybe not Crosby. Maybe not this season. Maybe after the season. But, I mean, this guy was a was pretty right. But I'm not mad. And Browns are better than you guys. Man, that's just straight up homerism there. The Browns are not better than us. I mean,
oh, he's taking off. Yeah, it was good to have you in here, man.
We appreciate it. And as always, I mean, I like seeing fans of other teams jump in here. But man,
you don't got to do all the promise tonight, all the man. Time though, but they start to lose their effect after a while. But no, it was seriously, it was good to have you in here. Hopefully it's a competitive game and maybe we'll see you in here on Monday or next Friday when we talk about the next week.
Yeah. I mean, if the Raiders went, come rub it in. I'll own up to it. Come rub it in.
Oh, there's Eric Delilah and Alyssa Hernandez. She's a new, she's new there, isn't she, huh? I think she just started over there. Anyway, from now to, or they say that but they think they're going to take advantage of the altitude advantage. Sorry, let me just reread this. Eric Delilah and Lisa Hernandez from the Altitude Advantage on the Broncos YouTube channel read my comment on the show, and Eric Delilah pronounced my last name Ronquillo. Okay. Is that how you pronounce it? Is Ronquillo?
That is a good question, and I've never bothered to ask. So if I have been pronouncing your name incorrectly, I apologize.
I feel like that's how it's pronounced.
It looks like it. It looks like it's right, but
oh, she's okay. So they pronounced her. I wonder if Elisa Hernandez told Eric how to pronounce it, or if he just knew.
Yeah,
because with the Mexican culture, we get a lot of our. Because so, I'm half Mexican, and my mom's Mexican, so people say Trujillo a lot, or Trujillo instead of Trujillo, stuff like that.
So, Michael, let us know if you've been saying it incorrectly or not, and all that. And Ernie Mays, the 31 teams suck. That's a fact. I'm not too far from you. All right, thank you, Michael. We appreciate that. Glad we can get it right because I am well known as being terrible with pronouncing names. And it is something that I do try to be better at. Yeah. But anyway, 31 teams suck. That's a fact. I'm one of those guys that there are other teams I root for, not over the Broncos, but they're playing the Broncos. They're not. I don't root for them to beat the Broncos. So I wouldn't say 31 other teams suck, but I'd say about 28 other teams. I do have a, and this is going to give me a lot of flack, I do have a soft spot for the Raiders. And some people are in the know about the reason why. Some people aren't. So I have a soft spot for the Raiders. And I have a soft spot for the Packers as well. Always have. But yeah, Broncos come first, always.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up like in Green Bay when I was a little kid. We'd call them the Green Bean Packers. But yeah, since like middle school, I mean, I liked both of them, Broncos and Green Bay, but like middle school on, I was more just the Broncos. And then they started getting really good, and that's when they got Terrell Davis, and then the back-to-back Super Bowls. They should have had a three-peat, but they blew that first year, 96 against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should have so many. We should have at least two more Super Bowls. That one, they should have a Super Bowl, and they should have one in 05, I think it was. When
2012. I think 2012.
Well, what's the Ravens one where game? Oh yeah, why? Mine's is the one with where Peyton Manning lost to the Steelers in the playoffs, and Peyton
Manning that was
yeah. And we had to play the Steelers, and we lost to the Steelers, and Champ Bailey got burned for a touchdown by Cedric Wilson, mm-hmm. who I've never heard of ever since then. Jake Plummer played terrible. Yeah, so, and then they played Seattle in that Super Bowl. We would have crushed Seattle.
Yeah. So you mentioned how you, being a Packers fan and saying the name wrong. I used to say the name incorrectly as well. I couldn't pronounce my P's very well, and I pronounced them as F's. So I can't say I don't want to say how I pronounced the Green Bay Packers name when I was younger. I would like to not get in trouble and potentially get this YouTube channel or get this video demonetized here on YouTube.
I said like halfway through, and I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, it's so
there's a guy in the other podcast, the guys used to be on here, and one of them is like an old guy. I call him the boomer, and he's one of those guys. He'll just read it off. He's like Ron Burgundy, and he won't realize until he already read it that he probably shouldn't have read that.
We've gotten caught with some of the more creative YouTube names on here.
I love when they do that.
We've gotten caught by it before, and we've definitely been warned of, we got to be a little bit more cautious of that.
So clever.
So before we wrap up here, we talked about it briefly. You mentioned how you had the Raiders winning this one. Is it just because of your lack of faith in the Broncos offense that you kind of have the Raiders winning this one?
Yeah, it's like the team history, the division rival, the lack of faith, the complete unpredictableness on the offensive side. So we just find ways to get, I don't know, just kind of fall apart in those situations. And Max Crosby most likely won't play, but if he does, even if he's 1%, he's going to cause havoc in the backfield. He's a beast. But yeah, hopefully we're wrong. Hopefully the score is switched. It's 16-10 us. But we got to find a way to get in the end zone, get on the other side of the 50-yard line on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, and he does have that high ankle sprain, and people are expecting him not to play.
I will say this. I'll eat the crow. I'll eat it. I'll eat the crow Sunday, Ernie, if I have to.
I once dealt with a high ankle sprain in both ankles, as well as a bad knee sprain, and I was still out playing basketball. And really? Yeah,
I've heard they're bad. I heard that it's like
they're bad. They're painful.
You would have broke your ankle instead.
Yeah, they are terrible. I was wincing, but I was still playing, and I still deal with issues in my ankles and my knees to this day. Part of it is a result of doing that, and not just once, multiple times. I've sprained both my ankles probably about 5-6 times each, and sprained both my knees both about 3 or 4 times each. So hopefully the Raiders are smart here, and as much as I would like to beat them at their best, as always, and are smart with Max Crosby and his future and sit him out for this game, because playing on a high ankle sprain is not a smart idea. Even if it's heavily taped up. But I have the Broncos winning this one. I think this, with what they've done against bad defenses, I think there is a lot that Sean Payton can take from, especially with the quicker passing game, to get this Broncos offense going, take advantage of how they like to blitz a little bit. especially if Max Crosby's out, they blitz more to cover for the fact that their star pass rusher's out, and get plays behind the blitz in front of their corners and secondary guys who are struggling to make tackles. And I don't want to say it's a great day for the offense, although my bold predictions do have it being a great day for the offense. That they find a way to move the ball, and we see the best game from this Broncos offense so far this season. Consistent running game and a consistent and efficient running game, and a passing offense that gets the job done. And then I think the defense will just completely take control over this game.
So you're looking for him to do those like layer passes, just right over the. Those are tough.
They are.
If you can get those, you can just dice up a defense. Though I've seen him miss a couple of those. They were more deeper down the field.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are beautiful passes. If he can make those, yeah, that's
it's tough, but
huge difference.
Or even getting the ball out to like Josh Reynolds or Cortland Sutton, not necessarily on a wide receiver screen, but a quick slant, like something to get the ball out quickly, neutralize their blitz, and again, take advantage of the secondary's tackling issues. That for me is one of the biggest things that they need to do offensively. They struggle at making tackles, force them to try to make tackles and see if you can get something done. If they make a tackle, at least you're picking up a few yards. If they don't, you're picking up even more.
Yeah, maybe it's time for Javonte to start punishing some people.
Yeah.
Maybe they can't bring him down.
Run him off the right tackle, Alex Palcheski. Run him right at Jack Jones.
Jack Jones, he might as well be a matador. He's probably
pretty much.
He's got the little red, like, go ahead.
It's rough for them. But guys, that's gonna have to do it for us tonight. It's been a fun and wonderful night. I hope you guys enjoyed this show. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Eric Trickle for myself and at Kenneth_MHH for Kenneth here. This is one of the many Mile High Huddle podcasts that we have been to have every single night of the week, as well as some mornings. This is the Dove Valley Deep Divers podcast. You can follow the podcast Twitter account at @DVDD_pod. You can follow the mothership account at MileHighHuddle.com. That's where you can get access to all the shows, as well as all written content and even other YouTube videos that I've been doing lately. I hope you guys are enjoying those, by the way. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/milehighhuddle, as well as facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. Again, you can get access to all the written work, all the videos, everything through the Mile High Huddle Facebook accounts, as well as chat with the wonderful community we have and have built up here at Mile High Huddle. And if you want some swag, as our boss likes to say, some merch, some gear, like this Dove Valley Deep Divers hat, you can go to mhhmerch.com. They have all sorts of stuff, different hats for every single show, different shirts. They have onesies, coffee mugs.
I'm all by myself.
And for some reason, my camera decided to shut off and kick me out of the stream. Anyways, you can get all sorts of gear at mhhmerch.com. You can follow us on Instagram at @milehighhuddle with the underscore between mile and high and huddle. And you can go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts to leave your football, the podcast, a 5-star review, the football priests, as Chad and Zach like to call themselves, for a chance to win some swag each month. And the one thing you can do, if you can't afford to buy any merch, you can't afford to do anything, because I know times are tough here, it's only a matter of time. You can subscribe, you can like, and you can share here on Facebook, or on YouTube, I mean. It helps us out with the algorithm on YouTube so much that gets us out to more viewers and more people out there, and that can end up helping us out as well. And we appreciate it so much. And then, of course, Super Chats on YouTube and Stars on Facebook. They support the channel. They support us. They allow me to do this full time, and they help keep the lights on and help us keep us doing these shows each week. They are dedicated to us, so we get our share of it. And we appreciate all those Super Chats and Stars as well. And while I don't have all the stars on Facebook on here, because unfortunately they don't show up for us, I want to say thank you to all those who did Super Chat. We have David Papa Bear, Mikhail Rath coming in. We have BK, Ian Levin coming in, Desert Creature, and a couple more from BK, and of course DB94. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate your support so much. And even if you guys didn't Super Chat, we appreciate you hanging out and joining us in the chat and having a fun night. And Ian coming in saying, and Threads, get on Threads. Twitter is dying. I refuse to call it X.
I did actually just just started Threads, so
I'll have to look into it. I haven't done it yet. I know my wife just mentioned it to me like just a couple days ago. So I'll have to look. I'll have to look into Threads. I haven't done it yet so far. Part of my thing is I've just built up, you know, 10 years of trying to build up Twitter, my Twitter account.
It's kind of a crazy thing with Threads. It's like hooked up to your Instagram account, and if for some reason you want to delete your Threads account, I don't know if they fix this, you might accidentally delete your Instagram account in the process.
I don't have an Instagram account, so I don't. Like, it's one that I made like years ago, back when my wife and I first got together, before we got married, obviously, and just never used. And now I don't know what the login information is to sign in, and for some reason it won't let me change any of that. So, anyways, that's gonna do it for us.
Somebody had one more question about Dulcich. Dulcich is playing in this game, correct?
He's expected to play. We'll see how much playing time he actually gets.
Okay.
They need him to step up. They need him to step up and be some kind of playmaker for him, and he has not done that. And it's getting close to time of moving on from the experiment.
That was the first game where usually he's when he plays well.
Yeah,
that was the first game where he was just dropping everything, and I was like, "Oh my, this is terrible."
But guys, thank you guys any final words? Sorry,
other days I didn't have anything for the weekend. There was a autograph signing, PS2 signing. It was going on during the show, so if you went there, hopefully you got a signing. It's like $100 or whatever, but that's still pretty cool. Yeah, have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Enjoy these nice couple of days left over before it starts getting cold. I don't know. Treat everybody good. Treat your neighbors good. And get ready for Sunday. Hopefully I'm wrong. And thanks for all the super chats. You pay for all my lost bets now.
Anyways, guys.
But no, hopefully I'm wrong, and hopefully they can pull it out, end the streak, and we can three in a row. So you never know after that.
Anyways, guys, have a great weekend. Stay safe. Don't drink and drive. And as always, go Broncos, of course.
Go Broncos.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.
88% of the work week is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.